Do you notice in the gospel how the word of God goes right through all the power and the authority in the world and goes to a man in the desert, to a lowly man in the desert? That's how the word God, you know? Interesting how Luke has that, just bypasses all those in great power and control and authority and all the rest of it, and goes into this John the Baptist. Anyhow, and then what we're told is that all peoples will see the salvation of our God, of God. Salvation. I want to talk about salvation, because Advent is about salvation history. As I said, it's about looking at the past and how God worked and saved and liberated the Israelites and the Jews up until Jesus and what Jesus did. And all of his actions show that he was nothing else but about healing and liberation and reconciliation. That's all he was all about. That's what he was about. His whole life was every person he encountered, he wanted to make whole. That's salvation, being made whole. So, and then we have in the future where God will make all things whole, where there will be no more death and dying, no more sorrow and pain and tears and agony and all the rest, but there will be nothing but the fullness of God in life and love. That's where we're going to. But anyhow, salvation history. I want to talk about that. Do you know the doctrine of salvation in the church's teaching? Anybody here know the doctrine of the... Because there is no doctrine. I thought I'd get somebody, yeah, I do. Well, no, you don't, because the church is never defined. There's no doctrine of salvation. But people have these ideas of salvation. When I say salvation, what do you think? I think many people believe that being saved means going to heaven and being saved from hell. But Jesus never, ever says anything like that. I don't know where that comes from, but that's not what Jesus says. It's quite natural, however, that our initial concept of being saved involves escaping punishment. Because think about it. The very first time we become aware of God and God's presence in our lives when we were children, we know very, very little. Our first notion of God resembles our parents more than anything else. They are God to us. And if we are older when we first become aware of God, our initial idea may be a compromise of several human authorities. And from such experiences, it's easy for us to believe that being saved amounts to avoidance of punishment brought on by our disobedience. Punishment often follows from disobedience to the human authority. So it's quite natural for us to expect the same thing from God. And with this expectation, we seek some way to be saved from punishment. Now, there's nothing wrong with that rationale. As long as you're a child. Since our initial understanding of God, or for that matter, your initial understanding of any person you have ever met, is always a wrong understanding. It's a limited understanding, no matter who it is. And such a wrong or limited understanding is the initial basis for any relationship. In order for our relationship with God to become a loving one, we must move beyond our preconceived interpretations of authority. But sadly, some never do. And that some may be you. Some people's relationship with God never has evolved from that childhood concept that they thought this was God, and their relationship has not evolved to where it is a friendship with God, where it's a love with God. It's still a parent-child and an obedience and disobedience thing, earning somehow God's love and doing all the right things so that God will love you. Some people never get beyond that God concept. And some people, other people maintain that salvation is a matter of being one of the elect, These are usually the fundamentalists. They're not usually Catholics, but there are Catholics, I guess, in this category too, who are spared from punishment by professing a correct theological doctrine or maintaining a certain religious practice. And then for many people, it's a matter of simply professing the name Jesus. Just say Jesus, and you're saved. You know, is Jesus your personal Lord and Savior? You know, so all you have to do is accept him in your life. And that's all it takes. That's maybe fine, but Jesus himself doesn't seem to put much stock in the use of his name. Just read the Gospels. Now, although Jesus does not seem to put much stock in the use of his name, he does indicate, as I read in the Gospels, the importance of us being known by him. He knowing us is really the key issue. In order to be known by him, we have to follow him and become his disciples, who are intimately known by him, and thus we become like him. Now, another thing about being saved, some people, theological insight does not necessarily mean a person knows God or is known by Jesus. You can have, and I've met people, a degree in a master's in theology. You can have a doctorate in theology. You can know a lot about God, but you don't know God. Yeah, you got all the answers in the books, but you have no experience of that God. You are not known by Jesus, and you don't know Jesus. But you can teach about him without even having a relationship. And some may believe that a correct theological understanding of God, and I find some Catholics in this category, because of professing creeds, causes us to find favor with God, and as a consequence, therefore, there is no punishment to us. It is not, however, that we find favor with God by believing the right things, but rather that by following Jesus and becoming his disciples, then he imparts to us the right understanding of God. And it's important to have a right understanding of who God is, because it will determine your behavior and how you act. We are saved from a wrong understanding of who God is, and therein we find the fullness of life that God has for us. Now, salvation is something that happens in us. It's not something that happens in God. We are the ones who need to be saved from our wrong concepts in our understanding of who God is. God has always known that we are his beloved sons and daughters. But it is we who need that revelation, that's who we are. That's a revelation. And any revelation that is a true revelation has to be salvific. It has to save. And so that's salvific revelation, that you and I are sons and daughters of God. We need that revelation. So salvation represents a change in our phenomenal reality, our reality as we understand it. By being converted and saved from a wrong concept of God, we enter into a new reality. The world changes once you know that. You don't have to go looking for your fulfillment in things. You don't need to go looking for happiness outside of God when you know who you are and God is. You're not lost anymore. With our conversion, we come to understand that God is behind and in our experiences, and that he loves us with the love of a perfectly benevolent and wise parent. A parent who wishes nothing but the fullness of life and love for us. That's what God wishes for us as children. Of course, we do not step into this reality in one magical moment of conversion. The salvation that Jesus offers to us is a transformative process. It takes time. It may feel magical at first, but true conversion requires time. And so that's why we have these seasons of repentance and Lent and Advent, to turn from those things that we are now, that we now turn into our God and turn back to the true God. The process of conversion may begin with a belief that we're being saved from punishment. But after you have walked with the Lord in your life, and been in relationship with God, and God becomes your friend, it becomes ever more difficult to maintain that belief. I don't have a friend who wants to punish me. And God, as my friend, certainly doesn't want to punish me. Our understanding changes over time, or at least it should change over time, especially in the case of our understanding of salvation. In our idea of what it is that we're being saved from. What do you think you're being saved from? A God who was angry and got upset because a woman back whenever had a piece of fruit and God couldn't get over it and was angry and wanted to punish us because of that? Come on, what kind of God is that? No, we're not being saved from God. We're being saved from a wrong concept of God and who God truly is. And as we continue to experience God and God's mercy and love and life, the idea of God as a great punisher of disobedience from whom we must be saved has to go. Get rid of that God. The idea of God as the eternal torturer is undermined by years of experiencing God's loving presence in our lives. And we experience that presence, that loving presence, despite all the all too frequent rejections of God in our life. As we become enlightened, we begin to see that Jesus' mention of being saved is ultimately a matter of being saved from our blindness concerning the greatness of God's love and mercy. And St. Bonaventure, he says, life is an emanation and a return. It's an emanation and a return. We are created by God, we emanate from the Father, and we constantly return to the Father. We can never, ever be separated from God. It's impossible. Although that is the original sin, is our thinking so, that we are separated. We're not. And we will never be separated from God or God's love. God just won't allow it. So, salvation. Let's face it, we have a very limited experience of it. But it seems to be a process that begins with the belief that God is our loving Father, our loving parent, and we are his beloved sons and daughters. It begins there. And as we continue to keep this belief of who we truly are, at the very center of who we are, as Jesus did in his life, we repent and we turn whenever we find something else becoming our source of life or identity. And we return to God. And we find ourselves being ever made into the likeness of God and like his Son. Let me ask you a question to end. Are you saved? Don't worry about it. If I were you, I wouldn't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Please, don't worry about it. The fact that you're here means you're in the process. You're on your way. And St. Paul says, God will bring to completion that good which he began in you. He will bring it to completion. You got to cooperate, of course. And I wish you would do it faster. And you with me, I'm sure. But you're on your way. You don't have to worry about it. It's a done deal. You see, how do I know that? And how should you know that? Well, you should know, I hope by now, that if you've read your history, salvation history, that God is all about saving. God never destroys what God creates. It may change and transform into something else, but nothing ever dies. Just look at evolutionary history and look at the Israelites and the Jewish and Christian history of salvation. Jesus reveals the true nature of God and the action of God. To save is the very nature of God. He loves what he creates, and he will bring you and bring all of creation to fulfillment, to completion. So, he created you out of love. He sustained you in this life out of that same love, or else you wouldn't be alive today if it wasn't for God's grace breathing in through you. He sustains you, and he will give you and fill you with the fullness of that life and love. And when you know that, when you really, really know it, you're saved.